Why would they go after Father James Altman? Well, the answer is very simple. And if you've been following him for any amount of time, you already know this. He has been speaking out against the Corona doom, the Corona hoax. And he has refused to shut up. I'm going to play you a piece of his homily from yesterday. I'm not going to play the whole thing. But there's a place in there where he talks about some of the risks that he has taken himself. And these risks then, he takes them on himself. We don't think about these things. We just take it for granted. And the risks that someone like Father Altman and like my priest, Father Damian Zablocki, that they undertake is, you know, when you're putting communion on people's, when you're putting it on their tongue, there is a chance that your thumb, and believe me, I've never done it, so I can't give you an up close and personal view, but you know, your hands, your fingers are right basically in their mouth. Not in it. I know, Mrs. O'Connell. Father Altman says he's done this, I'll play it a clip, he's done this 60,000 times since the Corona doom. And then at the end of the Mass, he rinses his fingertips in the chalice with holy water, pours a little, adds a little of the precious blood, wine as Protestants would call it, but it's the blood of our Lord, and then in cleaning the chalice, he drinks it. That is an act of heroism and courage amid the withering fire that comes from the Corona doomsters. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today and what that means for the rest of us. This deplatforming, this canceling. Here, you want another cancel? Here on the Mike Church Show, 23 minutes past the hour, wherever time zone you may be in, listen to this. This is from the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal this morning. Forgetting Justice Marshall, an Illinois law school drops his name as the left turns on the court. Now, I have my problems with Chief Justice John Marshall. This is not one of them. The University of Illinois Board of Trustees last week entered a no-confidence vote against America's greatest Supreme Court Chief Justice. Starting in July, the John Marshall Law School in Chicago will be known simply as the University of Illinois Chicago School of Law. Now listen to this. The press release cites Marshall's, quote, role as a slave trader, slave owner of hundreds of slaves, pro-slavery jurisprudence, and racist views. He went to kill black grandma. I have to ask the question, why don't we just cancel America? James Madison, principally, was the author of the Constitution. He was a slave owner. Thomas Jefferson, principally, was the author of the Declaration of Independence. He was a slave owner. Why don't we just be done with this? Just cancel the whole damn thing. Let's just, hey, look, take your $212 trillion in unfunded liability debt. We'll call it even. You go your way and I'm going to go mine. This is the go-to progressive indictment of American historical figures. Never mind that Marshall's muscular jurisprudence says Chief Justice from 1801 to 1835 forged a national government, an economy powerful enough to finally smash slavery a generation after his death. The U.S. is awash in iconoclasm. For from Washington, D.C.'s bid to erase Ben Franklin from a city building to the San Francisco school board's vote to rename Abe Lincoln High School. But the astonishing progressive turn on Marshall, law blogger Josh Blackman notes, another law school may also cut ties, carries its own significance, intended or not. Marshall's legacy is at the heart of the SCOTUS debates. In a speech last month cautioning against court packing, Justice Stephen Breyer appealed to Marshall's legal authority. And look, it's worse than that. It's worse than that. The libtard left and the Decepticon neocon right all love John Marshall. Why? Because he gave the court the what's known as the process of judicial review. Even though there is no process of judicial review in a constitution, Marshall invented it out of whole cloth. I forget the case. It wasn't. Most people say it was Marbury versus Madison. It wasn't Marbury. I mean, kind of where it began. But he doesn't actually get rolling with the judicial review until 1810 or 1811. I forget the case. But that's the principal one where the court says, hey, we didn't give you permission to do this, Virginia. I think it was Virginia. And Virginia goes, we don't need no stinky permission. And then the court, there's a couple of these. You might remember Andrew Jackson famously said, Justice Marshall has made his ruling, now let him enforce it. Or supposedly he said it. My point being, there's a lot of big government that is to love about Chief Justice John Marshall. He should cross political lines is the point. And here they are getting rid of him. You know, when they start doing this, folks, and this began in earnest 2 years ago with the sacking of the Confederate statues all across the United States, the attempt to purge history always ends in murder. It always ends in public executions. There are no exceptions to this. It will end in death. I don't know if it'll be me. I don't know if it'll be one of you, but someone will bear martyrdom at the end of the iconoclasm. That's how it's brought to an end. The people that are behind it get tired of killing. They just grow weary of it. Oh, no. I mean, it's still fun to watch it in the public square and what have you, but what kind of better executioner played? We need a new song and dance. And I am not trying to be fearful about this in any way, shape, or form. So the journal concludes, this autumn, the Supreme Court will begin what could be its most consequential term in years with abortion and gun rights on the docket. Marshall's insight that an independent judicial authority could serve the national interest by balancing against political authorities is as relevant as ever. Some progressives want to throw that out the window and instead intimidate the court into their desired policy outcomes. Maybe that's the real reason they want us to forget Chief Justice John Marshall. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, always on air, always online. At CrusadeChannel.com, this portion of the program brought to you by the aforementioned Epic Times newspaper. We are an official marketing affiliate of the Epic Times. If you're going to go to their site and read the paper, please use our link to get there. CrusadeChannel.com/Epic. CrusadeChannel.com/Epic. Moving on, because there's a lot to do here today. I'm going to come back to Father Altman in a bit. This was from Friday. Oh, I remember what it was I wanted to talk about. Yesterday, I went to another super spreader event. 300 and some odd people gathered together for the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. There was one person in the entire congregation that had a mask on. One. We've been going to the same super spreader event every Sunday since August of last year. Let's do the math, shall we? All August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, and now into May. So that's 10 months of weekly, sometimes more than once a week, attending super spreader events. 'To my knowledge, no one has died as a result of the super spreader event. I haven't even seen anyone that got sick as a result, other than myself, of the super spreader event.